And now, from the plush, brightly lit, recently refurbished little shed that acts as my pseudo-studio in the hysterical capital city of Montgomery, Alabama, the so-called capital of dreams, it says so right there on our trash receptacles, it's once again time for clearing the air. As always, I am your intrepid host, an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, a man being consumed by nanotechnology-derived sentient artificial life forms. That's NDSALFs, for those of you who love acronyms, and you know who you are. My name is Terry Adams. Welcome to my world. Now, I must insist that you listen and obey my disclaimer, which is not to believe anything you hear during this podcast, because you have to do your own research and come to your own conclusions about what's really going on. Never, ever let anyone tell you what's true and what isn't. We are well past the days of don't believe everything you hear, and we're now in the days of don't believe most of what you see. You see, the Luciferian psychopaths running this joint have at their disposal the mainstream media, which spews out propaganda daily. Don't listen to it. I hope you realize that when the time comes and the current administration flips the switch, which allows our enemy to march in and take over, the media is going to lie to you about that as well. I'm expecting to hear something like, American and Russian forces, along with a contingency of Chinese, are conducting military drills in the heartland of America. Don't be alarmed. There's nothing to fear. And amazingly, most Americans have been so dumbed down and brainwashed that they will believe it. Please don't be one of them. The podcast will begin momentarily. Please stay right where you are. My name is Terry Adams. Thank you for listening, and we'll get going here in just a second. First of all, let me say excuse the noise. I'm in the shed, and it is raining like dogs and cats out there. If you're a long-time listener to me, then you likely know that one of the subjects I'm keen to continually harp on or bring up is 9/11. I do so because of all the anti-American false flags and deceptions perpetrated and are facilitated by our own federal government. Of all of those, none approaches the importance because of the after effects of 9/11. It was used to start the wars in the Middle East. It was used to justify the wholesale elimination of so many of our constitutionally and Bill of Rights guaranteed rights. It was used to eliminate vast amounts of crucial evidence in many high-profile white-collar crimes, and it was used to steal billions of dollars in gold bullion that was stored beneath World Trade Center 3. And the American public, the world, was told that a terrorist on dialysis in a cave on the other side of the world, wielding a laptop, circumvented the most powerful and elaborate air defense on the planet. Do you really believe this? This is akin to telling everyone that Joe Biden, a candidate that could not fill a high school gymnasium with supporters, somehow garnered millions of votes more than Donald Trump, who routinely packed 100,000-plus football stadiums and was still having to turn people away because of not enough space. Use your common sense. It don't add up. What's happening is the mainstream media is managing what you perceive to be true. Don't listen to them because they're controlled by the dark side, the enemy of all things that America once stood for. Now, I've covered so many of the events on 9/11 on the official Clearing the Air radio program, but it just fascinates me how some people just cannot understand how the official story, which, by the way, is the real conspiracy of 9/11, simply defies several long-standing laws of physics and thermodynamics. First of all, when a tall, multi-level building falls on its own, it will always follow the path of least resistance. In other words, it will fall over because there's essentially no resistance to simple air. It will never fall straight down unless the floors below it have been blown. Therefore, it had to have been wired and detonated on purpose. That's the only way it could have done this. It is impossible for it to do that on its own. What part of impossible do people not understand? Never in the history of high-rise buildings has a single high-rise ever collapsed due to fire. Ever. Except for that one day on 9/11 where we're told three of them did. Buildings have burned for days, for weeks, and never collapsed. But Terry, you say, they were hit by airliners. The trade centers were hit by airliners. So? A 12-foot diameter aluminum tube going 200 miles an hour, hitting a steel frame exoskeleton, what do you think is going to happen? There's no way the fuselage of the wings would have made it through the building. Now, the engines with the titanium fan blades, they would have done considerably more damage than the body or the wings. But in a battle between aluminum and steel, steel wins every time. Remember, the designers of the towers built these with the possibility of a jet airliner hitting it. and the tower surviving multiple strikes. I would submit to you that the types of airliners they were designed to have hit them and survive had more mass than the modern versions, simply because they were designed without modern computer programming. Thus, they were overbuilt. See, modern airliners are made to be as light as possible to save fuel, in other words, save money. They were built light for increased efficiency. Regardless of the amount of damage inflicted on the towers by the airstrikes, the building still, according to everything we know about physics and thermodynamics, should have fallen over. But they didn't. They fell into their own footprint. They followed the path of most resistance. Why? The only answer is that they were intentionally brought down by pre-planted explosives and or hit with some type of ultra-powerful direct energy weapon. I say that because the debris pile was about a fourth of the height it should have been, given the number of floors, mainly because the largest bits of debris were no bigger than a phone dial. Remember phone dials? All you old ones out there? Something pulverized those buildings into fine dust. This was way more than two high-rises, or three if you want to count seven, that these things were blown to bits, literally. Anyway, all of this, me thinking about this, was brought up by an article I read on Global Research. And I'm going to read that to you. Here we go. Perhaps the most remarkable thing about 9/11 is that people often ask us to never forget, while at the same time never learning, let alone remembering anything about the crimes, because this was a crime. It's a beautiful example of Orwell's concept of doublethink, in which citizens covet their own unconsciousness in order to avoid acknowledging uncomfortable facts. One of those uncomfortable facts is that we were given a string of false, contradictory official accounts for the failure of the National Air Defense System that day, and the last one given is the most unbelievable. The ever-changing accounts for the failure to intercept any of the four hijacked planes began 2 days after the attacks. That first account was provided by an official hearing to confirm General Richard Myers as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Myers testified that no fighter jets were scrambled to intercept any of the hijacked flights until after the Pentagon was hit. Although Myers did not sound terribly confident in his knowledge, people thought he should have been, considering that more than 48 hours had passed and that he had been serving as acting CJCS during the attack. That's what they affirmed him as, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. A second contradictory story was given 5 days later when the North American Aerospace, or NORAD, provided a partial timeline of the notifications it had received from the FAA and the responses that followed. The timeline showed that NORAD was notified about the hijacking of Flight 175 at 8:43 a.m., a full 20 minutes before it impacted the South Tower. Moreover, F-15 interceptor jets from Otis Air Force Base were said to be airborne by 8:52, having been scrambled in response to the first hijacking. General Ralph Eberhard, who was commander of NORAD on 9/11, reiterated the timeline in his testimony to the U.S. Senate in October 2001, and for 2 years it stood as the official account. Eberhard added that NORAD was notified about the hijacked Flight 77 coming into Washington at 9:24 a.m., 14 minutes before it hit the Pentagon, purportedly hit the Pentagon. He repeatedly told the Senate Armed Services Committee that this was a documented notification. A book released in January 2003 further established this account of the military's response. The book, called Air War Over America, September 11, Alters Face of Air Defense Mission, was based on hundreds of interviews with the personnel responsible for conducting the nation's air defenses that day. It was authored by Leslie Filson, Public Affairs Officer for the 1st Air Force, and had been reviewed for accuracy by all the top brass who were in charge of our air defenses on 9/11. In May 2003, Eberhard's subordinates, General Larry Arnold and Colonel William Allen Scott, gave the third version of the story by presenting a slightly revised version of NORAD's timeline. They contradicted the timeline for Flight 175, saying that NORAD was not notified of the hijacking until 3 minutes after that aircraft had crashed into the South Tower. This was despite the fact that when asked by a U.S. Senator about the second hijacked plane somewhere up there, Eberhard had previously said, "Yes, sir. During that time, we were notified." Arnold and Scott also revealed for the first time that NORAD was notified about the hijacking of Flight 93 at 9:16 a.m. This was 47 minutes before that flight allegedly crashed in Pennsylvania at 10:03 a.m. Obviously, interceptor jets could have easily reached and escorted Flight 93 given this revised timeline. It was only after... Colonel Robert Marr, who was running the response of NORAD's Northeast Air Defense Sector, that's NEADS, of course it's an acronym, it's a government thing, repeated several times in an interview with investigators that he recalled monitoring Flight 93 during the time that it was hijacked. It was not only Marr who remembers monitoring Flight 93 in the NEADS battle cab. NEADS Intelligence Officer Lieutenant Colonel Mark Stewart, who was standing right next to Marr during the crisis, reported the very same thing. Both of them said they were tracking Flight 93, and many air traffic controllers made clear in their handwritten notes from that day and their personal statements afterwards that Flight 93 was known as a hijacked long before it was destroyed. General Arnold claimed in testimony to the commission that, and I quote, "It was our intent to intercept United Flight 93, and in fact, my own staff, we were orbiting now over Washington, D.C. by this time, and I was personally anxious to see what 93 was going to do, and our intent was to intercept it. But we decided to stay over Washington, D.C. because that was not that urgency. So we elected to remain over D.C. until that aircraft was definitely coming towards us." Well, the 9/11 Commission report came out 14 months later, providing a fourth different account and contradicted all of the previous accounts and the previous testimonies. The 9/11 Commission, the Keene Commission report stated that NORAD's air defenders had 9 minutes notice for knowledge about the hijacked planes. The Commission made the ludicrous claim that all the Air Force officers had been either mistaken or outright lying in previous testimonies. Why any of these officers would spend years lying in ways that made the Air Force look incompetent was never revealed. The Commission's air defense team, led by an expert propagandist, inserted some new diversionary claims to reconcile some of the confusion. One was a story about Phantom Flight 11 that was used to explain why the interceptor jets scrambled in the wrong direction and flew at a fraction of their top speed. The Phantom Flight was never mentioned in the Filson book, which had been thoroughly reviewed by all the Air Force leaders prior to publication. Now, why do you think that would be? Now, with regard to Flight 93, the Commission relied on the report of another hijacking as a means of explaining confusion. This was Delta Airlines Flight 1989, which was reported as hijacked that morning, despite the pilot of that aircraft saying that he was not hijacked. According to air traffic controller notes, Delta 1989 landed in Cleveland approximately 20 minutes before before United 93 was said to have crashed 200 miles away in Pennsylvania. The Commission's new explanation that everyone who thought they were tracking United 93 was really just tracking Delta 1989 is simply not believable. Reasons include that Delta 1989 never turned off its transponder, was clearly identified throughout its flight, and never lost contact with air traffic controllers. And as Colonel Scott testified, NORAD was notified of United 93 hijacking at 9:16 a.m., and United 93 didn't turn off its transponder until 9:40, just a few minutes before Delta 1989 landed in Cleveland. Moreover, writer Leslie Filson noted that General Arnold made clear in his interview with her that NORAD was tracking both United 93 and Delta 1989. Since NORAD was aware of both, it could not be that Delta 1989 had been mistaken for United 93 at any time, let alone for the 47 minutes that the hijacked United 93 was being tracked. With certainty, the odds are vanishingly small that the three previous accounts for the air defense failures represented years-long points of confusion for every single Air Force officer who was involved in it. Alternatively, that all of these military officers spent years lying to make themselves look bad is a claim beyond unbelievable. It is much more likely that it was the 9/11 Commission that lied when it provided the fourth official account. Yet the people who call for us to never forget are not likely to ever learn, let alone remember, any of it. Wow, that was a long read. Yet another reason that our government has lost the benefit of the doubt. They are not to be believed in anything they say, folks. Thank you. All right, the other day, a little short mean woman and I are cruising down the Atlanta Highway, and we meet four, five, maybe even six kids on four-wheelers. No helmets, pulling wheelies, and just basically driving up the Atlanta Highway on an ATV, which of course is not designed for street use. And that bothers me. And let me tell you why. Four-wheelers are not designed. They use very low air pressure in their tires for traction. They're not designed for the asphalt. They get very, very squirrely at anything above 30 miles an hour on any hard-packed surface. There also happened to be a town hall meeting that very night. Now, I didn't go, but the president of our neighborhood watch, who happens to be a friend of mine, excuse me, I had to wash that down. She went. And the way the format works is you submit your questions by writing and you hand them in when you come in. You don't get to stand up and raise your hand and go, hey. Well, at this town hall was our representative and the police chief. Well, somebody inquired about these very five or six youth on their ATVs. And you know what the police chief said? He said, we can't catch them. He said, I saw them. And I started to turn around, but what's the point? Because when I go to get them, they're all going to go in different directions, and they go places we can't go. We don't have the manpower to catch them. So what he's admitting is, basically, it's anything goes now on the streets. That should scare you. That should alarm you that that's where we are now as a civilization. The other reason, other than the kids losing control and getting hurt, here's what makes me mad. When one of these kids loses it, and that 600-pound ATV crushes him and drives him into the pavement and kills him or severely maims him, lawyers out there, who they have interns that do nothing but search for accident records. The second they see Yamaha, Suzuki, Kawasaki, Polaris, they're going to be at his house, and they're going to be telling his parents, I can get you thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars from these manufacturers. They're going to sue the manufacturer, claiming these machines are unsafe. Even though, when they bought the ATV, they had to sign something saying they understood it's not designed to be used on a highway. Even though it says clearly on the title, not for use on the highway, not it's for off-road use only. There's at least six or seven places you have to sign acknowledging that when you buy one of these. They're going to do it anyway, and they're going to sue, and they're probably going to win because of a jury. You bring in pictures of the main kid and show them to the jurors, they're going to side with the parents. They're going to side with the kid against the manufacturers. It has cost the ATV industry hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's not their fault. Anyway. I wanted to get that out there. Yeah. All right, let's do some need to know. Jacob Rothschild died at age 87. Mayor Amschel Rothschild stole a fortune from the former Prince William of Hesse and created the First International Bank and is responsible for our current fiat debt-based financial system. The Rothschild family purchased Jerusalem and have heavy influence over Israel and its politics. David Knight, the reporter, who I think he works with Alex Jones, details the relationship between the Rothschild family and Donald Trump, who was bailed out with Rothschild money in the 1990s. That's not good. Let's see. G. Edward Griffith responded to someone named John, who wrote a lengthy critique of Griffin's Project Red Pill in Need to Know News, reprimanding us for failing to put the Christian religion at the center of our movement. The theme of John's critique was that religion is the main issue, and he implied that our sins are the cause of tyranny instead of our enemies who abuse power. John's solution is that we, rather than the psychopathic tyrants, must repent. John wrote that only prayer will save us. Well, John's got it just a little bit confused. I agree with John that men are inherently evil, but G. Edward Griffin is doing what Paul commanded us all to do, and that is expose the darkness to the light, so he's misdirecting power. And also religion, you need to understand that religion's bad, spirituality is good. Religion is the problem. Spirituality is the solution. Moving on, Alphabet, the parent company of Google, surrendered a massive 90 $1 billion in market value after its shares dropped 4.5% to just $138.75, marking their lowest closing price since the outset of the year. A massive sell-off on the stock was triggered after Google was forced to pause its Gemini artificial intelligence image creation tool, which was turning out false and misleading images such as black Vikings, female NHL players, quote, diverse versions of America's founding fathers, and even an Asian woman dressed in a Nazi-era German soldier's uniform. Additional alarms were raised when Gemini refused to condemn pedophilia. What are the chances of that? Google's apparent bias against white people could make Google appear unreliable in the expanding AI market and could potentially jeopardize Google's dominance in the online search market. Oh, by the way, Elon Musk, he argued that Gemini's discriminatory issues extend to Google search. Now, that's probably, well, that actually is true, but Elon Musk is no hero. You need to keep that in mind. He's one of the bad guys. So that whole, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, that doesn't work with him because he's an enemy too. Aaron Bushnell, a 25-year-old active duty member of the United States Air Force, set himself on fire outside the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. on Sunday to protest Israel's war on Gaza. He, of course, died from his injuries. Bushnell said, and I'm assuming he said this before he set himself on fire, "I'm an active duty member of the United States Air Force and I will no longer be complicit in genocide. I'm about to engage in an extreme act of protest, but compared to what people have been experiencing in Palestine at the hands of their colonizers, it's not extreme at all. This is what our ruling class has decided will be normal." Then he set himself on fire while he shouted, "Free Palestine." Just before he set himself ablaze, Bushnell told a friend that he had secret knowledge of U.S. troops fighting in Hamas tunnels under Gaza and participating in the killings. Wow. In a separate incident back on the 1st of December of 2023, an unidentified person was reported to have self-immolated at the Israeli consulate in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, the individual later died from the injuries. The protest was also against Israel's war on Gaza. It is unknown why authorities refused to release the protester's name, age, or gender. Okay, G. Edward Griffin was interviewed by Danielle Cambone and explains why banks are deliberately engineering financial crises. Griffin explains the shocking truth about how crises benefit the elite, the hidden agenda behind the erosion of the dollar, and the unsettling reset that's shaping our world. This video is for anyone who suspects that not all is as it seems in our financial and health institutions. You better believe it. Griffin explains the role of individualism over collectivism in defeating tyranny. The American College of Pediatricians, and you're going to find this very hard to believe, but that's an acronym, ACPEDS, reviewed 60 studies focused on the mental health of adolescents struggling with gender dysphoria and declared that social transition, puberty blockers, and cross-sex hormones have no demonstrable long-term benefit on the psychosocial well-being of adolescents with gender dysphoria. Hormone blockers like Lupron may cause osteoporosis, mood disorder, seizures, cognitive impairment, and when combined with cross-sex hormones, sterility. Bing, 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 bing. There you go. That's what they want. They want sterility, which is proactive depopulation. Think about it. Moving on. According to a Canadian Independent News article, Kayla Pollock, a 37-year-old mother from Ontario, is now paralyzed after receiving a Moderna COVID-19 booster shot. She initially, like an idiot, took two Pfizer mRNA COVID jabs in 2021 without incident, but took a third booster shot from Moderna on the 11th of January 2022 and became paralyzed from the neck down for 42 days. I'm sorry, after 42 days later. She was diagnosed with transverse myelitis and has a large lesion on her spinal cord. When asked if the lesion could be a tumor, a neurologist who was recorded by her boyfriend said it's less likely a tumor and that it is his gut impression it was caused by the vaccine. An honest doctor. In two of her medical reports, it's noted that her transverse myelitis followed after her third injection with the COVID vaccine. She spent months in the hospital where she says she was offered medical assistance in dying. Hey, that's an acronym too. MAID, M-A-I-D, medical assistance in dying. How about that? Isn't that nice? On two occasions, but rejected the offer. She has since lost her home, her mobility, and her son. Basically, this is the depopulation agenda meets the elimination of the sanctity of life movement. Embalmer Richard Hirschman discloses the mysterious appearance of strange rubber-like blood clots following the rollout of the COVID vaccine, or let's just call it what it is, the jab, in 2021. He believes the clots are a type of aberrant protein. He showed a sample clot that formed after death and outside the body. Data analyst Thomas Haviland shared the findings from surveys of embalmers worldwide about blood clots and deaths that increased after the COVID-19 jabs were introduced and mandated. Haviland said that in 2021, after the rollout of the COVID-19 jab, 67% of embalmers who were surveyed began seeing strange white fibrous clots in their corpses. Wow. Shouldn't surprise you. Doesn't surprise me at all. Here's something that's right down my alley, because I discovered hydrogels inside of my body in 2009. Filaments that are claimed to be emitted from skin and shed. There's a screenshot of that, and the article reads as follows. Greg Reese published a video about COVID-19 shots that have been reported to contain hydrogels that cause blood clots and can be programmed and encrypted. I've talked about this. Dr. Anna Maria Malasia says that hydrogels are the primary method of fusing humans with machines. Based on a paper from MIT, she references that paper in her latest podcast. The paper is titled, Hydrogel Interfaces for Merging Humans and Machines. Well, there's no doubt about what they're trying to do anymore, folks. There it is. She also reported on data from unvaccinated people that shows hydrogel plastics such as polyenes, vinyl, nylon, Kevlar, and spider silk proteins and additional signs of other nanotechnology such as silicone and sulfur in all the blood samples. While the ingredients of the COVID-19 injections are largely unknown and hydrogels are not fully understood, we believe in reporting on these findings as we continue learning and await more information and confirmation. Reese published a second video that claims that people who receive the jabs emit a fluorescent orange glow in their faces that is visible under a UV light, and those who have been exposed to shedding emit this glow around their nose. Folks, as I said repeatedly on the radio, I believe we Morgellons victims. We were the test cases for this insanity. When I actually realized it was happening to me, I began to notice a strange, understated, almost an opaque glow on my skin around the area where the organisms would burrow in. If I used a black light, it's very easy to see where they were burrowing into my skin. It's amazing. But there it is. Anyway, there's your need to know for podcast number 30, I believe. We're at 30, aren't we? Yeah, 30. Okay. There we go, 10 minutes. Now, what I'm about to read you is from a podcast. I read a lot of stuff. This is called The Lioness of Judah Ministry, March 1st. I gathered all vaccine ingredients into a list and contacted poison control. After intros and such and asking to speak with someone tenured and knowledgeable, this is the gist of that conversation. I said, my question to you is, how are these ingredients categorized, as benign or as poison? I ran a few ingredients, formaldehyde, toluene 80, mercury, aluminum, phenol, hexylethanol, potassium phosphate, sodium phosphate, sorbitol, etc. The answer was, here's what the guy said. Well, that's quite a list, but I'd have to easily say that they're all toxic to humans. They're used in fertilizers, pesticides. They stop the heart. They're used to preserve a dead body. They're registered with us in different categories, but they're all poison. Why would you ask? And she answered, if I were deliberately to feed or inject my child with these ingredients often as a schedule, obviously I'd put my daughter in harm's way, but what would legally happen to me? The answer from the poison control? That's an odd question, but you'd likely be charged with criminal negligence, perhaps even with the intent to kill, and of course, child abuse. Your child will be taken away from you. Why, do you know of someone who's doing this to their child? Because this is criminal. And she answered, yeah, I do, an industry. These are the ingredients used in vaccines, with binding agents to make sure the body can't flush them out, to keep the antibody levels up indefinitely. The man on the other line said, "What?" The man was beside himself. He asked if I would email him all this information because he wanted to share it with his adult kids who are parents. He was horrified and he felt awful that he did not know this. His kids are vaccinated and they have a lot of health issues. Folks, you cannot make educated decisions without being educated. Here are just some of the vaccine ingredients that are being injected into your kids. Formaldehyde, highly toxic systematic poison and carcinogen. Ooh. Beta propyl acetone, which is a toxic chemical and carcinogen, may cause death, permanent injury after very short exposure in small quantities. It's a very corrosive chemical. This next one is a hexa something another bromide, may cause damage to the liver, cardiovascular system, and central nervous system. May cause reproductive effects and birth defects. Aluminum hydroxide, aluminum phosphate, and aluminum salts, they're neurotoxins. Carry risk for long-term brain inflammation, swelling, neurological disorders, autoimmune disease, Alzheimer's, dementia, and autism. It penetrates the brain where it persists indefinitely. Thimerosal, which is mercury, it's a neurotoxin, induces cellular damage, reduces oxidation, reduction activity, cellular degeneration, and cell death. Linked to neurological disorders, Alzheimer's, dementia, and again, autism. And let me stop you right there and say, if you bother to look at the cases of Alzheimer's and autism, you'll see that they are exponentially higher right now than they were, say, 25 years ago. Why is that? Ask yourself that question. Back to the article. Polysorbate 80 and 20 trespasses the blood-brain barrier and carries with it aluminum, thimerosal, and viruses that allow them to enter our brains. Glutaraldehyde, it's a toxic chemical used as a disinfectant for heat-sensitive metal equipment. Fetal bovine serum harvested from cow fetuses taken from pregnant cows before they're slaughtered. Human diploid fibroblast cells, aborted fetal cells. Foreign DNA has the ability to interact with our own DNA. African green monkey kidney cells can carry the SV40 cancer-causing virus that has already tainted about 30 million Americans. Acetone can cause kidney, liver, and nerve damage. E. coli, yes, you read that right. There's E. coli verified in the jab. DNA from a pig. Circovirus type 1. Human embryonic lung cell cultures from aborted fetuses. You can see all of this. You can verify what I'm telling you on the CDC's own website. I would encourage you to do that. Look up the MSDS on all these chemicals. Read the thousands of peer-reviewed studies that have evaluated the biological consequences these chemicals have on our bodies, especially when they're injected. I got this article from a podcast, but ultimately it came from the World Doctors Alliance. World Doctors Alliance. They're poisoning us, folks, on purpose. It's depopulation. It's genocide. See, instead of outright killing us, they want to make us sick so we'll go to our medical professionals and they will prescribe us a plethora of pharmaceutical drugs which will do more harm than good, but will also enrich those in Congress and Senate who are all heavily invested in the pharmaceutical industry. You need to know that. When are we going to wake up and stop this, folks? Are we just going to sit back and allow ourselves to be killed and poisoned? Are we not going to stop it? I don't understand. What happened? What happened to the America I used to love? Where is it? Did it ever really exist? I'm beginning to wonder. Why is there so much damn apathy? Why does nobody care? I don't understand. Maybe it's me. I guess it is. I found these statistics online. 9.1 billion in quote development fund end quotes for Iraq. Did you know of that 9.1 billion, 8.7 is unaccounted for? 2.6 billion, there's no paper trail. Where's that money going, folks? Do you really think when we're in these financial death throes that we really need to be throwing out 9 billion with the B dollars? What is going on here? What is happening? What they're doing is they're trying to destroy the financial system of America. They're going at the heart of America, because in order for their one world government, their one world control system, aka the New World Order, the Great Reset, whatever you want to call it, it's the Luciferian psychopath's big day, is what I call it. That's what it is. They want to destroy America. They have to. America is in the way. We're impeding their full implementation of the New World Order. What needs to happen is we need to withdraw from the UN immediately. Because I'm telling you, they're putting UN edicts over our Constitution. And that's never happened before. It's happening now. They're not going by the Constitution anymore. This is no longer a government of, by, and for the people. That's over. America is gone. Do you understand me? It's gone. And it happened on my watch, and I'm not happy about it. I don't know what else I can do. I was on the radio for 8.5 years telling you this. Now I'm on a podcast for the 30th time telling you this. But nobody seems to know. It's just like Carlin and the owners. Nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Everybody just floats along. Oh, well, I really don't have time to get into it, Terry. I got to take my kid to a soccer practice. I don't have time to worry about all this. You know? I got this going on. I got that going on. Well, guess what? You're not going to have a whole lot going on except a whole bunch of funerals for your spouse and your relatives and your kids unless you get your butt up and we get something going here. Something's got to be done. We have to unite. We have to get together. We have to. There's strength in numbers, folks. That's why they're trying so hard to keep us divided, whether it be by race, religion, doesn't matter. They have to keep us divided because they know we, the people, can stop them. When is it going to happen? When's it going to start? That's what I want to know. Because I don't get it. I really don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand the apathy. If you don't believe me, that's one thing. You're an idiot, but that's one thing. The fact that you're listening to me and you know I'm right, you know that little voice inside you is telling you I'm right, because this doesn't come from me. This comes from a much higher source, and I'm right. I know it's going to happen, but we can delay it. If you got grandkids, that should be at the top of your priority list to slow this thing down so your kids can grow up at least with a glimpse of what America's supposed to be. Maybe that's all that's left is a glimpse. I don't know. But what's there now will not be there long unless we intervene soon. It may already be too late. I don't know. But I, for one, I'm having a problem sitting back and watching this wholesale destruction of my republic. You know, when they asked Benjamin Franklin when he was leaving Freedom Hall, well, what'd you give us? What'd you give us? He said, I gave you a republic if you can keep it. We owe him an apology. We didn't keep it. Not at all. It saddens me. It really does. Well, a little bit of good news. The state of California is once again proving that it is just the home of the far-left nut jobs. So much so that even now the United States Coast Guard refuses to enforce one of the state's many outrageous new regulations because of safety concerns. Now, the Coast Guard, what they're wanting the Coast Guard to do is they're wanting the Coast Guard to pull over every ship off the coast of California and penalize them if they don't have some new diesel exhaust particulate filter on their engines. Now, these filters, unfortunately, are dangerous because they're failing and causing fires aboard ships. So the Coast Guard said, no, we're not going to do it. As a matter of fact, Rear Admiral Andrew Sugimoto, commander of the 11th District, told state officials that the new state regulation is dangerous, and he refuses to have his people follow it. I love that. Now, I'm going to give you some headlines. These are just the headlines off Rents. It's one of my favorite sites. It's full of stuff. RENSE.com, Rents. Communist O'Biden, multicultural overthrow of America. Paid for and financed with our tax dollars. Biden now says no Gaza ceasefire soon, contradicting his by Monday remarks. Biden blasted after claiming crime rate has fallen to 50-year low. He is seriously insane. Hunter Biden finally admits Joe Biden is indeed the big guy, but nothing's going to happen to him. You know that. Trump rages after mainstream media follows the McCaskill rule on mental midget Biden's use of false Melania story. Unconstitutional seizure of Trump's private property continues. The Biden cabal, they aren't invaders, they're newcomers. Trump and joke Biden hold dueling border visits. Dem state sues meat producer over climate change. Jesus Christ. Another meat producer is being sued over methane emissions. Climate change. Joe Biden at the border. You're a Neanderthal if you don't believe in climate change. Yeah, right, Joe. Whatever you say, buddy. Hiring most qualified person for a job is discriminatory, claim major communist universities. Soros backlash. Nation has turned against soft-on-crime prosecutors. You better believe it. Trump promising to gut intelligence agencies infested with traitors. Does anyone really believe this? 4 years and he did nothing, did not drain a single drop. Yes, that's true. Trump says he'll use local police for mass deportations if he's elected. Yeah. Polls show more young voters are turning away from Joe Tapioca Bola Pudding Biden in favor of Donald Trump. Biden, a pipeline of criminals into the U.S. Trump claims Biden is destroying our country during southern border. The FBI hates white people. Biden administration colludes with UN, flies invaders into the U.S. and calls them refugees. There's a 7,300% increase in invaders from Venezuela under the Biden administration. You know, I can't read any more of this crap. This is insane, folks. And we're just sitting back, letting it happen. What else can I say?